you.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the perfect little village that is Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast once again. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show, which I don't know how that's possible, Savage.
Yeah, it's not possible. It's not. It's really not.
If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought of it, that and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm Michael, your host, along with, to my left, as always, James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Doing my thing, Savage. To your left, talking about Max Gumbo Johnson.
What's happening?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you in a bit. We'll get there.
Raj.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. Why does that keep coming up, by the way?
I don't know.
It just keeps coming up.
I don't know. Every third
episode, we reference what's happening. This must stop.
No, this will not stop.
You say NARP to that?
I say NARP.
NARP.
Adam the Bomb Rogers, rounding out the cast. What did he say? I'm halfway there.
No. Yeah, he said, hey, how's it going?
If you want to keep up with us, let's get out of the way real quick. You know the routine. Listen, Savage, you have your Facebook, you have your iTunes, you have your Twitter, you have your YouTube channel.
All of that stuff.
You just find us. We're there. But I say, why do that when you just go to theqfilmcast.net? You're darn right.
You're darn tootin'.
I say yarp. Qfilmcast.net. You go there. You can let us know what you think of this episode, any of the episodes.
Sure.
You can leave your own review of the film in question.
People do.
People have. People shall. People will.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Going to happen. Ask me again how I'm doing this week, Sam.
How are you doing this week?
Because I couldn't wait to tell you. I had a fantastic week. You want to know why?
I do.
It was wonderful. It was incredibly successful. Not one time this week did I have to sit down and watch an awful rendition of Romeo and Juliet, even though the tickets were free. Didn't have to do that, Max.
That's good. That's a long play if it's bad.
Did you know at no time whatsoever did I have to kick an old woman square in the face?
Sometimes that could be fun.
Good week.
Yeah.
It depends on the woman.
Well, she started it.
Well, you should have kicked her then.
Did you know at no time whatsoever that I have to shoot my gun in the air whilst going, oh, no! Didn't have to do that.
Those are all
it's
good
fun.
Things.
You should try it.
Do we need to tell and reveal the movie in question at this point?
I think people's got to figure it out. Let's proceed like they know.
Let's proceed like this. Let's proceed by telling them that it's Hot Fuzz.
Ah.
Hot Fuzz. 2007, we're talking about the Simon Pegg film, the Nick Frost film. Uh-huh. They're written and directed by Edgar Wright film.
Yeah.
Basically, if you don't know what that means, it's the guys that did Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, basically.
Spaced.
Spaced, yeah. And, of course, the last one, The World's End.
World's End.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you hadn't?
No.
Oh, you should watch that. It's funny.
I need to. You complete the trilogy, right?
Yeah, the Cornetto trilogy.
This is a bit of a special episode, though, guys. You know, usually, I kind of lied in the intro. We pick a film from that. No, we didn't do that this week.
Okay.
Let me tell you what we did this week. We handed the cue over to one of our special listeners.
A very special listener.
You're all special listeners.
Yeah, but, you know, we're gonna single one person out in particular. He's one of our preferred customers.
He's got the rewards card and everything.
And we told you last week, the Wizard of Wexford.
There you go.
Wexford, Ireland.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Kevin Dillon.
The Kevin Dillon?
He wanted us to cue up one of his favorite films that is currently streaming on Netflix, Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
So we're doing it, man.
Okay.
And I want to say thank you right now for that.
And for the Blade Runner postcard.
Yeah,
he sent us the Blade Runner postcard.
You know where he sent it?
To your house.
To 120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
See what happens when you send perks?
I don't know. I didn't hear that. What was that again, Max?
It's 120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210. You can send it straight to me.
And magic, I heard it that time.
And magic happens. And you get perks.
Yeah.
We might even hand the cue over to you.
Look at that.
See that? Like
Max's all-natural calendar coming out later this year.
You never know.
I want to talk a little bit about Kevin Dillon, though.
Okay.
I like this guy. Never met him. Never heard his voice. Mm-hmm. We chatted a lot on Facebook and on Twitter. Let me tell you something about this guy. Unbelievable. Do you know he's a husband, father, music lover, jiu-jitsu novice, and movie enthusiast? Writer for unappreciatedscholars.com. Go there. Search him out. Twitter, at KevDillon316.
All right.
I have some trivia on Kevin Dillon. Did you know? Did you know, guys, were you aware that Kevin Dillon once swam the entire length of the Barrel River in 18 hours and 34 minutes?
Yeah, no, I knew
that's
that.
Crazy.
Of course.
He did it, all while wearing a kilt and flip-flops.
Of course.
That's insane.
He's the flip-flops that really made it tough.
Yeah,
you know?
Right up the entire length of the Barrel River. He's kind of a local hero in his... that's why they call him the Wizard of Wexford. Did you know that he holds the record for the fastest crawl to the top of Mount Leinster, 2,610 feet, tallest point in Wexford? He did it in 31 minutes while singing nothing but Patti Bear songs.
Okay.
Wow. Holds the record.
All right.
He's also one good, hell of a good hurdler. Did you know if it wasn't for a premature bone spur, he'd most likely have broken every one of Nicky Rackard's records.
I don't know what that means.
Well,
what?
The people of Wexford might. I wanted to give him some local flair.
All right.
You may not appreciate it.
No. Yeah.
But damn it, I thought he deserved that. This All man right. is a local hero. So let's get on with his selection. Let's get on with his
Kevin!
Movie.
Kevin! Wait, is we'll this actually legit?
Huh?
Is this legit?
Yeah he did all that stuff, yeah. Yes.
Go Kevin.
That's what I'm saying.
This guy's like a superhero.
That super Irish hero.
He is. My hero, baby.
So, clearly. Hope you enjoy it, Wexford. There you go. Let's get into the film. 2007 Hot Fuzz stars Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Jim Broadbent. Did you know that it stars 007?
Yeah.
Timothy Dalton,
dog.
Yeah.
He was only in how many? Like two?
Two.
I've never seen those
he was in one of my Oh, I thought you were going to say two or three scenes. I was like, he's more than that.
Did you like his version of 007?
No, he was okay. I just didn't like the movies.
Didn't like the movies. This movie also stars Bill Nighy, Martin Freeman, who's Bilbo.
Well, he didn't star then.
Well, I'd say he didn't star him. He's in the damn thing, yeah. Okay. It kind of stars Paddy Considine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Poop. Sorry.
Yep, that's him.
Robert Popper. I honest to God, I said Robert Pooper, didn't I?
Yeah.
I did not mean to do that. Robert Popper. I can't remember who it is. Doesn't matter who these people are.
Right.
We know one.
It doesn't matter.
No, because we're going to talk about the film. The film is basically Edgar Wright, written and directed by him. It's a Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, Nick Frost film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's their thing. Yeah.
Inspires, as they all do, a top three Max Gumbo Johnson.
No, do tell.
Top three cop duos in film.
Or buddy cops.
How do you want to say it?
Buddy cop movies.
I don't know about buddy cop. Movies are just buddy cops. Because it might be just a scene of really great buddy cops.
Okay.
I hope so.
I know. I just thought it was buddies where one of them had to be a cop.
Okay, that's good.
I thought it was buddy cop. Whatever.
Yeah. I like it because we toss it out there and whichever
way.
There's two
cops and they're in a movie together.
And they're buddies.
And they ride around together.
Okay.
No, we're not doing that. Buddy cop movies.
All right, so let's do this, guys. If you've seen this film, 2007 Hot Fuzz, keep listening, see if you agree with our take on it. Or, if not, that's okay.
Yeah.
Keep listening to see if you agree with what we thought of it and what Kevin Dillon thought of it.
That's the
important thing. Let's talk about what this film is. Actually, let's do something else first. Let's talk about what the critics thought of it. Okay. We do that every week.
Yeah.
Hot Fuzz, 2007. IMDb, Savage, come on.
Users.
Something, point, something. That doesn't make users. These are all critics.
No, IMDb is users.
Never mind. IMDb, something point something. What?
I'd say 7.3.
Very close.
Hmm.
He got the 7 right. He got the point right. He got the 3 wrong. 7.9, Savage.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Not bad. Max Gumbo Johnson. And by the way, is that an old Irish dish, by the way?
No.
They just kind of put everything in a pot and boil it for 18 hours. Yeah, so
that would be Irish stew.
I do like a nice Irish stew.
It's Mick Gumbo.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Mick Gumbo. Yeah. Gumbo. Critics and users on Rotten Tomatoes. What? What do you think they gave Hot Fuzz?
Critics, I'll go 87%.
91.
Whoa. Oh, awesome. Good.
All right. Look at it.
Users, I'll go 93.
89.
Got some love.
I was right the first time. Doggone it.
Got some love?
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit of heat on this one.
Got some love.
Wait a minute. Heat on Hot Fuzz?
Whoa.
Ooh, did you see that, producer?
I wish I hadn't.
He's shaking his head at me. I wonder why. What did I do to him? Yeah. What did I do to deserve that?
I don't know.
Oh. Let's get into this film. Let's talk about what this film is. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Let's do it. Hot Fuzz from director Edgar Wright brings us the tale of top London cop Nicholas Angel, or Angle. I'm not sure. It depends on how you spell it. A cop so good, he's too good. And unfortunately, making the rest of the force look bad. To remedy the situation, he's reassigned to the quiet and crime-free town of Sanford. There, he's paired with new partner Danny Butterman, who endlessly questions him on the action lifestyle, something he's basically only seen in movies. Everything seems dull for Angel until two actors are found decapitated in the quiet town. It's called an accident, but Angel isn't going to accept that, especially when more and more people turn up dead. Soon, Angel and Danny clash with everyone, whilst... I like saying that word, whilst.
Whilst.
I don't get a chance to say that very often. Whilst trying to undercover the truth behind the mystery of the apparent accident. And maybe the boring town of Sanford needs him more than anyone originally thought. Ooh, cop. Big city cop comes to small town. Someone gets decapitated. He's on the job.
He's detecting.
Yeah. Upon its release in 2007, Hot Fuzz was met with rather good reviews from fans and critics alike, and is generally regarded as an equal esteem as Shaun of the Dead, the film that opened the door for this sophomore effort from Wright and Peck.
Cool.
Very cool. You know what else is cool? Talking about a trailer right here, right now. 2007, Hot Fuzz. Here you go. We'll come back. Q Filmcast. Going to talk about this and then round it out with our top three buddy cops in films.
Sergeant Nicholas Angel. Expert in hand-to-hand combat. Armed response. And high-speed pursuit. He was so good, they reassigned him.
Right. You've been making us all look bad.
Statistically, Sanford is the safest village in the country.
Now, this big city cop.
You ever fired two guns whilst jumping through the air?
No.
You ever fired one gun whilst jumping through the air?
No.
Must learn.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
How to think small.
Morning, the swans escape.
The swans escape.
Can you describe it to me?
About 2 foot tall.
Yep.
Long, slender neck.
That's just gonna scare it.
But in a place where not much goes on.
Watch this.
Ta-da! A whole lot is about to go down.
3 people have died in a week.
Accidents happen all the time. What makes you think it was murder?
There hasn't been a murder in 20 years.
You're saying this wasn't an accident?
Not everyone's a murdering psychopath. It's high time you realize that. You and your monkey.
Did he mean me or that?
Have you ever wondered why the crime rate is so low, and yet the accident rate, it's so high?
I'm gonna bust this thing wide open.
From the guys who watched every action movie ever made and created Shaun of the Dead. When the heat is on,
here come the fuzz.
Go, go, go.
You gotta call. Fuzz.
Gunfights, car chases.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Hot Fuzz.
All right, there you go. Trailer from the film we're talking about tonight. Hot Fuzz 2007. Anyways, let's talk about some facts and figures about
sure.
this film.
Cool.
Max, did you know that Nick Frost only agreed to do the film if he could get to name his character? He was also asked to watch over 20 action films to warm up for the role, said he would, but only watched one, Bad Boys 2.
That's awesome.
So that was his name he picked, Danny Butterman?
Yeah.
Well, what's the significance there?
I don't know. He said, I got to be Danny Butterman, and I'll watch 20 films, and he only watched Bad Boys 2.
Huh.
Did that hurt his performance? I don't know. Not at all.
No, not at all.
Did you know that the film features disguised cameos by 2 Oscar winners, Kate Blanchett and Peter Jackson? Jackson appears as the Santa Claus who stabs Nick Angel through the hand during the opening scene montage.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that Kate Blanchett was the Jeanette, his girlfriend, in the opening scene? His girlfriend with the mask on?
Oh, really?
That's Kate Blanchett.
Cool.
She made a little secret cameo in the film.
I love that scene.
I didn't catch that at all.
When I knew that was her, and you look at the eyes, you go, Kate Blanchett's eyes, obviously.
Yeah, now that.
She had pretty eyes. This shows that I have no idea the English equivalent to a stone, because it says here, Simon Pegg lost over 2 stone. Oh, I wrote it down, 28 pounds.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's like 14.6, yeah. 36 pounds or something.
That's right. When I talk about losing a stone, that's like I had something removed. Simon Pegg lost over two stones in preparing for the role.
Hmm.
Okay. He's a little chunky before that.
I had no run, yeah. Fat boy, run, maybe.
Eating too many of those Coronado chocolates.
Yeah, perhaps.
This is Simon Pegg's favorite film of his own to date. He says that he likes this one best.
Hmm.
All right.
I like this last one. I like this last one right here. Did you know that according to the director, actor Patty Considine was asked not to do Robert De Niro impersonations because he kept doing them, but he was still able to sneak several of them into the film. If you look at it, you'll find him doing.
I have to look for those.
Was it when somebody was looking at him?
Yeah. Now knowing that, and you see the film now, you see.
You're looking at him?
Yeah. You looking at me? You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at how we're going to rate this film.
Okay. Because
you know, Max, we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down here. Why?
No, because that's arresting.
It's too arresting.
It's just, yeah.
We're going to use 1 to 10 yarps.
Yarps?
Yarp.
How about this? How about if you like the film, you yarp. Go with yarps. But if you don't like the film, we'll let you use narps.
Okay.
So five or low, it's NARP.
Five or below is a NARP. Six and above is a YARP. How's that sound?
That sounds fair.
All right, let me tell you what Kevin Dillon thought. The Wizard of Wexford. I'm going to read this real quick. Here's what he says. He says he gives it 10 out of 10 YARPs easy. I love this movie. It was one that I actually avoided for a long time because he wasn't that big of a fan of Shaun of the Dead. But when I finally settled in to watch this, I had a blast with it, probably due to the fact that I've seen more action movies than any other genre. And the references and tropes of the action genre come thick and fast. But in a rural English setting, Peg and Frost have a great natural chemistry, and the supporting cast is fantastic. Timothy Dalton, Jim Broadbent, my favorite, Patty Considine. He loved all that stuff. The foot chase homage, the Point Break, the Bad Boy-style camera shots, where it's taken from at a low angle, all that stuff. I loved it all. He really loves this film. Okay, basically, straight up 10 for him. I figured that you guys would spot a ton of references. And I was also curious to see how well some of the humor traveled across the water.
Across the pond.
See,
right.
Yeah, we're talking about from there to here is what he's saying.
Yeah.
What else to get into? I get a great kick out of the fact that Angel's theory about the murders is completely plausible, but it turns out to be something far more superficial, which is better for the village. There you go. So he wants to know what we think of this film. That's why he queued it up, one of his favorites. All right, he's going 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to go straight to Max Gumbo Johnson in this one. Do you follow him up? What you going to give this film?
Surprisingly, yes. I give this a 10. 10 yarps.
10.
Wow.
Yarps?
Yarp. Yarp. 10.
Boy, you like this film.
I really, really like this movie, you know, from the day I saw it. Watched it again last night for the first time in a couple years. I was like,
yeah.
This thing is brilliant. I picked up on so much stuff that I had not picked up on before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I wonder how much stuff I'm not picking up on. Because I just don't know some of the reference material. I mean, I've seen a lot of the stuff that they're talking about in the movie. But it's brilliant. There's nothing in this movie that does not work.
Yeah.
And you can watch it over and over and over and pick up something new every time. And I realized at one point, I said, this is genius. This is superlative filmmaking.
I'm not going to let...
As silly and, you know, as silly and as quaint and as pedestrian as it may seem, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go into this and be... sort of dumb.
No.
And get most of the jokes. There's probably a lot of jokes that went over a lot of people's heads in this thing. It's brilliant. A solid 10 for me.
You know, I'm not going to let my cat out of the bag too much, but I'll tell you this. The writing in here is it's endless. It just goes and goes and almost to a wondrous effect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over, speaking of wondrous and effectual. Sorry, Savage, I'm talking about the producer here.
Oh.
I want to save you like best for last.
Oh.
Producer, go. What you going to give this film? We're talking about YARPs or NARPs.
Oh, I love this movie, hands down. I watch this movie all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm only going to 9 because only Shaun of the Dead is a 10 out of those.
He can't bastardize Shaun
of
the Dead.
No. I love it as much as I do. I'm still only going to go 9 on it.
Okay.
Shaun
of the
Dead is a 10, though, hands down.
You know, if it wasn't for that, you probably would be 10. You like this film a lot.
Oh, I love it.
So much to the so that when I came into the Jolly Roger studio tonight, you were watching it again. All right, Savage, we got a 10, we got a 9, we got a 10 from The Wizard of Wexford. What are you going to go with?
When we watched the film years ago, and I hadn't seen it since we'd watched it then in the theater, and I remember not liking it very
really?
Much. Yeah, well, it's just we had watched Shaun of the Dead, and it just seemed at the time kind of a pale sophomore effort compared to Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
But they're fundamentally different films.
Yeah.
They just have the same people in them. Watch it again, and this is just a delight. This is a flawless film, and I can't give it anything other than a 10. This is a great, great film. Mm-hmm. And I think Max is right. There's so much going on. There's so many jokes that I got, and there's so many references that I got. How many of them was I missing?
Yeah.
You know, because if it's that layered, it's even more layered. There's a lot going on in this film, and it's just a complete delight. It's a 10.
It's a joyous film.
It is a joyous film.
So we have a 10, we have a 10, we have a 10, and a 9, because we have 5 in the queue tonight.
Yeah.
Here's what I got out of this one. I'm with you guys, man. I love this film. I really like this film. I remember liking it a lot when I saw it, though, Savage. You say you didn't like it so much. I remember really liking this film, and I think I enjoyed it even a bit more this time. You know, I think the thing I like best about this movie is what Max got into, the dialogue. I mean, the conversation, and it's almost nonstop. I mean, there might be 2 minutes of silence in this entire film if you add it all together. And it is tight and ripe. It just goes from, I wonder what this guy's going to say. Loved it. I wonder what's going to happen here. That was great.
Right.
The conversation goes. And it never seems forced. It's almost like the scenes had a real identity to them, too. Yeah. Every scene was a great setup and delivery. They all end with some sort of punchline or purpose. That's what I love about this film. The rhythm of it. I think this really highlights what Peg does, too.
Yeah.
Peg is really good at opening and ending scenes. Here's my intro. Hope you love it. See you in the next one. Just boom. You know, it, one after the other. One example of this in this film, just to get ahead of myself a bit with the scenes, though, it highlights what I like best. The conversation and the play. The fascist, yeah. You fascist, you hag.
Right.
As we get into, like, when he first gets into town with the old lady.
The that, crossword puzzle thing.
I mean, the film's full of that. Those plays between words with the characters, it's like Max said, it's almost flawless. Once again, it's a parody, too. I like that. You know that.
Yeah.
When that fine line between what I'm making fun of and what really is, it's very thin.
Yeah.
I love a good parody. I think that's what this is as well. And that whole subtle backdrop of, isn't this what you expect from a cop film? With all the stuff and
right.
They're poking at and kind of putting and rubbing your face in it.
Cops.
Yeah, I loved all that. So, good movie, smart movie. I can't wait to talk about it.
It's great.
It's Mastercraft.
It's awesome.
The only thing I'm going to say, I'm going to give it 9 yarps. Okay?
Yarps?
I'm going to give it 9. It is a bit long for me, okay? It felt like that, anyway,
hours,
to be honest.
Yeah. 2-3.
I thought the ending was a bit over. We'll talk about the ending, okay? Maybe you can talk me into a 10. I don't know, but that's my soft spot. That's the underbelly going heavy on the 9 yarps. I like this better than Shaun of the Dead as well.
I did, too. I thought this was a better movie than Shaun
of the Dead. Dead's good.
Shaun of the Dead's awesome.
Yeah,
perfect.
But this is better written.
It's different. They're just different.
Yeah. You know what we need to do? Why don't we stop right here and listen to a piece of the film real quickly? You think we should do that?
Yeah.
Yarp.
Okay.
Yarp.
Okay. Why don't we do that, and we'll come back and get really into this one. Talk about the scenes that stood out. Hot Fuzz 2007.
It would appear the heavens have opened.
I was hoping to check in.
Check in? But you've always been here.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were my husband. You must be Sergeant Angel.
Yes, I am.
I'm Joyce Cooper. I trust you had a pleasant trip. Fascist.
I beg your pardon?
System of government characterized by extreme dictatorship. 7 across.
Oh, I see. It's fascism.
Fascism. Wonderful. Now, we've put you in the castle suite. Bernard will escort you up there.
Well, actually, I could probably make my own way up. Hag.
I beg your pardon?
Evil old woman considered frightful or ugly. It's 12 down.
Oh, bless you.
All right, guys, there you go. There's Hot Fuzz 2007 as requested and cued by the Wizard of Wexford.
The Kevin Dillon?
The Kev Dillon 316. He's a good dude, I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Send me a Blade Runner postcard.
Send him a Blade Runner postcard, the 120, but we'll get to that later.
This guy knows me.
Right.
Max, you're really high on this one. I was surprised. I thought you'd get up there, but I wasn't sure.
I was surprised at myself, too. I was sitting there watching last night. I was like, wow, I never realized how good this movie really is.
Yeah.
And I watched it last night. I was like, yep, I think I'm going to go with a 10 on this one.
Yeah.
10 yarps. I loved it. I, there's not a second of this movie that I don't love. The thing that comes across in this is that you can tell that Edgar Wright, you know, these guys wrote it and he directed it and everything. You can tell that they clearly love these, specifically the action, American action films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all their bombast and, you know, just overblown, full of themselves style that they are.
Yeah.
They clearly love these things. And they were like, let's make something like that, but let's put a little twist on it. And they skirt that line between homage and parody so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just perfectly, so that it doesn't become a joke in and of itself and doesn't just fall back on itself where it's just stupid. To be able to do that with just such sharp writing and to still make it funny and to still get the point across the way they did, That is just brilliant. I could never write anything like this if I sat down with 100 monkeys in 100 years.
Well, you have 3 monkeys in here right now, so
yeah, right. 97 right.
more. I totally and completely agree with them.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is pen on paper perfect.
Yeah.
But I think, like you make a point. The first time, you're looking at the exterior a bit. You don't really get into, wow, this is great craft and great writing.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what you get as you go along and watch it again and again. But what do you guys say, Savage?
I think so. I think, and you know, for me personally, it was coming off of the Shaun of the Dead, which is in itself a brilliant film. I mean, it's inherently different. They have the same actors, the same troupe, I guess you'd say. But it's different genre. It's a zombie film. You mm-hmm. know, this is a buddy cop film.
Yep.
And Max nailed it. It's like they skirt that line between parody and drama. I mean, they just skirt that so perfectly.
Yep.
It's and they don't ever become a joke of themselves. I think like the other guys here would be an example of that with Will mm-hmm. Ferrell
right,
and
exactly,
Mark Wahlberg,
exactly, yep.
where they tried to parody the genre but ended up just being silly.
All it was a parody. It was very yucky yuck kind of thing.
And this wasn't. I mean, this still had plot, which surprisingly turned.
Yeah,
In ways that you didn't expect. I mean,
and which was also surprisingly rather deep.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, shallowly deep.
Yeah, but you know, they went through the machinations of like almost a detective story where like we've really got to dig into this and figure it out.
Yeah,
and really play cop, you know, for this thing. And
no,
figure
no,
out what's
all
going
that
on.
Was incredibly well done. What I liked is like how much visual parody that there was, just shooting the scenes. The camera angles, the camera turns, just the visual aspect of that. And once you key in on what they're kind of making fun of with just the filming.
Well, it wanted you to harken back to the absurdity of how some of these action films are filmed, too.
Yeah.
You know, with the camera spins and they're putting their glasses on.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it's always a wink and a nod to, you do understand we're making fun of something.
Right.
They're always in the background making sure you kind of understand that.
Well, but at the same time, in the foreground, they're also allowing that moment to be true.
Yeah, it works for the scene, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that fine line that's where parody works the best is when you're not really sure that they're parodying.
Yeah, and that's what I love best. It was real close to the bone.
I'm saying more homage.
Homage, you think homage? Yeah. Well, you know, a parody is a good homage.
Well,
it can be both.
No, they're inherently different.
Yeah. Max, what's some of your favorite scenes? Talk about anything you want at this point. Go ahead.
One of the early things in the movie that has always stood out, I always thought was hilarious, was when he goes to the crime scene.
Yes.
And everybody's got the mask on. Yes. Says, you know, I'm dating Bob now. And he goes, yeah, I know. Hey, Bob. That's not Bob. And then the other guy, oh, hi, Nick.
He goes, hi.
Hey. Yeah. Hey. That always cracked me up for some reason.
Yep.
I have no idea why. That has always stuck out to me. It's so funny. And it's so unexpected.
Yeah.
Janine, I've been transferred. I'm moving away for a while.
Well, I'm not Janine.
Janine, I've been transferred. I'm moving away for a while.
I know. Bob told me.
Hello, Dan.
Actually, there's something I need to tell you.
You're seeing someone else.
Yes, how did you...
Is it Bob?
No. Does Bob look like the kind of person I'd go out with? It's Dave.
Hello there.
One of my favorites, too. And a great play on words. He says to her, what are we looking at here? She goes, oh, it's a terrible scene. 2 people, total disarray. Everything's a mess. He says, are you talking about the scene or our relationship?
Our relationship.
She says, now, does he look like someone I would date? I'm dating him, and they're both dressed the exact same.
Right. got the protective equipment on.
And that's the writing Max is talking about. And that's what I grabbed. And that's a scene I would go to right away, too, because it sets it early and it stays there the whole film.
I love that part. That stuck out for me so bad. To pick out a scene in this movie that stands out is just it's almost impossible.
Every one of them.
I mean, everything clicks so well in here. I mean, when he first gets to the little town and he says, "Oh,
well, even before that, when he's discharged."
Well, when he's just the whole montage where they're talking about what an awesome super cop he is.
Right.
I mean, with Bill Nye and Steve Coogan,
who are
always good to see. They're always good to see.
I love those guys. Yeah.
You want me to call the head chief inspector? The chief inspector? Yes, I do.
Yes, but that whole montage where they're going through his training and he gets stabbed in the hand and he goes into fencing and. They say he excelled at several sports. He's playing chess with the guy and hit the clock.
That's right.
It's like, okay, well, come on now, really? That building of the silliness and the ridiculousness of it, it's not only funny in and of itself, it really is true of some of these movies that they're sort of parroting, lampooning. Lampooning. You can tell they did it with love.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But it's also serious enough and not funny enough where you take it seriously in the film. He's not just a joke of a super cop. You buy that he is...
He's this guy.
Yeah. And there's the brilliance of it. It's that it never crosses that line into joking of itself.
And there's a lot here, too. There's a lot at play. A lot of characters in this film.
Yeah.
A lot of introductions of things. I mean, there's 30 minutes of this film where all you're doing is meeting new people. When he gets to that town, that's what's all fascinating about the film. It's a long movie, but it all somehow holds. I mean, you meet this guy, and then you meet that guy, and then you meet the clerk at the desk, and then you meet the flower shop lady, and then you meet the guy who mumbles endlessly.
Yeah.
And then you go meet a guy who mumbles even more. And it's this parade of introductions that if you said, okay, we're going to take 30 minutes and just meet people, it might be like, well, I don't know how that's going to work. It all works. Everybody was, what's going to come out of this guy's mouth, and how clever is it going to be? The answer is very clever all the way across. You know? What about the Andes?
The Andes. All these cops, they deserve their own movie, hands down. I wish I could see a prequel of just this cop unit.
I mean, actually, we talk about buddy cops. Those were great side buddy cops. The Andes.
Yeah.
I love those performances, man, those guys.
You've got a mustache. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like he says, I wrote on one scene. Oh, he's like, the one Andy says to him, he says, well, what else you got on this crime? He says, skid marks. Okay, now who's being childish? Remember that thing?
Yeah. There are no skid marks.
No, I'm not talking about that. You know, just stuff like that. It's hysterical. Yeah. What can
all
I say?
Of them are. I mean, all the cops are in their own way. The mumbly cop, the lascivious chick cop, the cop who thinks he's serious until he meets a serious cop, the weird twin reception cops.
They're all good.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a good cast.
That whole scene when he goes out, when he first gets there and he wants to arrest Butterman for being drunk, he says, oh, let him go. And they end up taking him to the jailhouse, find out he's the son of the constable or whatever. But that whole sequence where he arrests all the kids in the bar.
Yeah, the montage of them being so evil.
Well, and then the montage of him actually booking them is great.
Yeah.
He said, you sure you want to do all this paperwork? He takes out the two pins and clicks them.
I don't have a pen.
I'm
he was good to go. Yeah. And it also has the fish out of water aspect.
The stranger in a strange land thing going.
Yeah,
absolutely it does.
And that's always a good foundation to build something. You know, you can always build a movie on that. Fish out of water, I don't belong here kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. You know. But it's a little different because there is an air of like superiority where he thinks that, you know, he's got this figured out more than they do. So there's that. You're not coming into a new place where you're the underdog, which is a lot of the stranger in a strange land things. It's like you got to overcome something.
Yeah.
He's already overcome and they're just got to catch up to him kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen. You know, eventually he's not going to be a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah.
This is going to become his place he wants to be. And that happens at the right time with the film, too. He's always waiting for London to call to get him out of this place. Nothing happens here.
London.
And when London finally calls, he says, you know what? Tell them I'll call him back later. And you know, boom, he's bonded. And talk about bonding. Him and the Nick Frost character. I really bought that.
I thought you were going with Timothy Dalton on that.
We'll get to Timothy Dalton and that freaky smile in a bit. But I liked, Max, did you like, obviously you did, the relationship there as it built, and then it showed them watching Bad Boys 2 together.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, I thought, perfect, man. That's good.
I think that's what's so good about this, the relationship that Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, and Edgar Wright have with this Cornetto trilogy. It's like some of the earlier Farrelly Brothers movies, the earlier Apatow movies. They all had this sense of silliness, this sort of almost gross-out humor, sort of just throwing everything at the wall and seeing if it could stick.
Yeah.
But at the core of it, there was a real relationship between the characters.
Yep.
Right.
And you can make a parody or whatever you want to call it of any genre movie you can think of, or any comedy for that matter, but it's not going to work if there's not a bit of a heart to the film, or a bit of a heart to the story, where you have a dramatic beat once in a while where it really invests you in these characters. And that's what the three films these guys have done together really do so well. You'll notice in Shaun of the Dead it happens, this movie it happens, and at World's End it happens. There's always this little thing that brings these guys really, really close together.
And it's plausible.
And it's plausible. It's not just out there. It's like they just some contrivance that they throw out there.
Yeah,
it works.
Zombies are plausible.
Nah, never mind.
I'm with you completely.
But you completely see these guys really getting together and becoming friends. Like when he went to buy the plant for him and he couldn't get it, and he said, "You know, did you really go buy me the plant?" He said, "Yeah, I did."
It's in evidence now. Yeah. They took it away.
Yeah. That, and even that's a funny line. Yeah. Yeah, it's in evidence now.
And we're talking about Hot Fuzz 2007, by the way. What did you think of bad guys, good guys, in the confrontation between them? You have Timothy Dalton, who I thought was really well cast here. There's one scene, well, I don't know why it was funny to me. He smiles next to a picture of him smiling.
Yeah.
And you just know, I mean, it's simple. It's like eating something organic. It's just natural. And I just laughed out loud. I thought that was a great performance. I loved when he pulls up twice to the scenes.
Right.
And it's like, come on, don't you know I'm the guy?
Yeah.
But anyways, all that. Savage, what do you got there?
No, I loved it. I loved the just what turns out to be the most banal motivation to the evil.
For the greater good.
Yeah, greater good.
The greater good.
The greater good. Because it sets it up where you're going along with this cop trope of this detective figuring out the deeper motivations for what's going on. And it turns out that it's none of those things.
Yeah.
It's absolutely none of those things. It's the most ridiculous, silly, superficial things that you can imagine being.
Yeah.
But horrible because of what you've done. That little twist right there. You can say that it's a parody, but right there, that shows the brilliance of the writing to me.
Yeah.
That shows the brilliance because instead of taking the easy out of just continuing with the trope of, okay, it's a land deal gone bad or it's, you know, a relationship gone bad.
And superhighway.
Yeah. Instead of what we have been conditioned to believe are reasons to do heinous things, it's, well, he murdered Bill Shakespeare.
Well, listen.
Well, she can't take her green thumb away from us. You know?
Yeah. If we can't have her, no one else will. Yeah.
Well, I love that twist. And then I loved how it responded to him. Like, he couldn't even process. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's good stuff, too.
A menace to the village has shown up again. The human statue.
Yeah, I thought that was hysterical. And he's going to, you know, this is going to lead to all kinds of mimery or whatever he said.
Jugglers.
Jugglers.
I love that scene where they're looking at the surveillance camera of the human. What do they call him? The human
statue.
The
human statue.
Human statue.
Or living statue.
The living statue. And it's him in the shot in the exact same position every time, and there's like two people here and then there's one person here. It's like, why are you showing me all these pictures? I get it, you don't have to show it to me, but the joke is there and it's so subtle that you might not laugh at it the first time you see it, but then you realize, oh, I see, it's the same guy in the same position every time, but you're showing me the same picture over and over.
I like that it's honest too and what it's going to lead up to. I mean, for example, you know that at some point in the film, someone's going to lay on their back, shoot their gun up in the air, and go, and you're waiting for it. You're waiting for it. But when it got there, it felt like, okay, it was worth the wait. You know, it felt good.
It was a payoff.
You know? It was a good payoff to everything.
Well, it felt right.
Hey, you know what? There's a little bit of blood in this film, too, man.
There's quite a bit. There's quite a bit of blood.
You talk about the beheading. There's beheadings there. You talk about a guy getting a steeple through the jaw.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
He still stood up.
Well, he still got his mug shot. Yeah. Are you kidding me? With a steeple still going through his face. So the minute you think that it's just this light-hearty thing, they'll throw a little bit of that at you too, you know? So
yeah.
Oh, it's perfectly balanced.
But that's another part of the parody where a lot of it is they're just wounded. So, I mean, instead of just like mass murdering people, it's like, all right, shot equals you're out of the commission. You're out of commission. I mean, they didn't kill a lot of people. I don't know that they killed anybody.
Well, no. He shot.
Colt, you mean?
Wait a second now. There's one scene, pretty bloody scene. He shoots the flower on top of the woman's head, and for some reason it explodes. Remember that?
I'm talking about?
So there's one person dead.
Oh, we got to get to the shootout.
Let's talk about the ending. And can I make one last comment on the writing? The writing is so good here that there's one character who only says two words.
Yep.
Yarp. And Narp.
No, he never says Narp.
He doesn't say Narp.
It was Simon Pegg that said
Simon
Narp.
Okay. Said Narp.
He only says Yarp.
Narp?
But you took a whole character that said one word, and you made him a complete character. And you built scenes around him saying one word, and it was brilliant.
And it was Yarp.
Enough of that. You know what I'm saying. Max, you want to talk about the ending. They go ride back into town. Go. What you got?
I think it was so great when there was just that complete tonal shift in the movie where Simon Pegg's character just felt like, okay, that's it. I'm going to stop being the good cop and I'm going to go ahead and be the action hero.
I'm going to be Dirty Harry
now. He loves so much. Right. Yeah. That scene where he just loads up every gun he can mount on his body. And how does he go in town? On a horse. Yeah. It was great.
Look at
the
horse.
And he puts the toothpick in his mouth with the glasses. Yeah. It's like, oh, I just want to scream, Cobra!
Cobra!
It's like, that's totally Cobra.
Right.
Yeah.
He finally said, you know what? These people aren't going to believe me. They're not going to go along with my theories. I know what's going on.
Right.
This is the only way to deal with this, I guess, that these people will understand.
Not through the system.
And he just kind of gave into it, I guess.
But you know what was fun about that scene, Max? When you see old ladies pulling out Uzis out of their flower baskets. And just the way.
It's great.
I even told Adam when I walked in, I said, I love this scene because when the old lady's shooting the gun, her bun is just flopping up and down. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was hysterical to me. Right. And those are details. And that's what makes a film good sometimes are the details. I want to nitpick one thing, though, okay? And then you can tell me how wrong I am.
What's that?
Ending kind of got away from me a bit. I felt like they kept it going a bit too long. There were a couple times I thought, it just kind of didn't end like I wanted it to end. He's at the graveyard of the mother, and really that just kind of felt like, well, we better show this. But at one point, what's his name? Timothy Dalton gets a steeple through the jaw.
Yeah.
And then they go and something explodes. And then another guy comes in, and then there's that. And then he won't die. Then another guy comes back, and then it cuts away to the mugshots. And it just felt really compounded at the end. I wish they would have leaned that up a bit. It kind of like tapered off just a bit for me.
They stretched it a little too much.
Am I wrong there?
I think the intent was that to show that they didn't kill any of them.
Is that what it was?
I think so, because I think that's kind of the joke, is that they didn't. I mean, they were bad boys. You could say that they were the Brit boys, you know, whatever, but they didn't kill any of them. I mean, everybody survived, even the dad that you were hoping get it or drive off in the swan. You know, swarms him at the end, and all it does is just makes him run into the tree.
Okay, well, you know, it felt to me like when they did the mugshot, I thought, okay, that's the end of the movie, and I got to get up off the couch. I thought, well, what's this now? Okay, that's the end. Well, what's this now? No wonder Peter Jackson was involved with this film. I think he gave him advice on the ending. He felt like he gave me a little bit of a Lord of the Rings ending there. It wouldn't stop. That's my only nitpick. I could go to 10 if it wasn't for that. I'm going to stick with 9, though.
I'm going to stick with a 10.
Yeah, let's talk one more quick scene here, though. So we got a little bit of time here before we get into our top three. So we're talking about Hot Fuzz, by the way. The swans, the chase of the swans. There was some great. Oh, I think that's an homage to Point Break when he crashes through the fence and he's jumping over the fence and chase. And then he eventually takes the can of peas and knocks the guy over. But I like the chase stuff, the physical comedy.
Well, that's
all
an
that
ongoing joke between all the whole trilogy, them jumping over the fence.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, through the fence or.
Yeah. That's in every film, crashing through the fence.
Or, you know, going to the pub.
Yeah.
Going to the pub.
I love the editing on this thing, too. Just like the last week. All the visual way that they play with the camera and the editing and everything. I thought it was perfectly handled.
And then when they're pushing each other for the jokes, it's like, did you say cool off?
Did you say cool off?
Oh, but you totally missed it earlier.
You could talk about this movie. There's a lot to talk about, but you can't fit it all in an hour. There's just no way.
I like the film. I think I'm going to stick 9. I'm really glad. I thought I'd go 8, maybe 7. But, man, watching it again, you get a lot of respect for, wow, someone wrote this crap.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It is fantastic like that.
Yeah, but and it's brilliantly shot, too. I mean, there's some really, really clever, funny camera work going on if you know what you're looking at.
It's supposed to walk the line between this is what the film needs, like you say once again, and this is what these action films have way too much of.
Yeah. And again, the parody of it, and it works that it just walks that line, brilliantly.
Like for example, you know, at some point these guys are going to crash through a door, flying through the air sideways, shooting their gun,
right?
You know, stuff like that. It's going to happen,
and it was awesome when it did.
He kept asking if he ever done that. He's like, no, he got his chance.
Yeah,
right, no, and then the two Power of Grayskull moments.
Oh yeah,
by the power of Grayskull.
When they see the sea mine, by the power of Grayskull, and then when and he opens his DVD collection room, all his rest of his house is like totally trashed, and he opens his DVD. And I'm sorry, Adam, but I thought of you for a minute. Where he opens those doors, like, by the power of Grayskull.
I think that's what Adam says every morning when he opens his eyes. That's like his cock a little doodle doo in the morning to get him going. I tell you what, let's end this, guys. Let's end it right here. We got a top three we got to get into. I think it's a good film. I think it's a really good film. I think if it's on Netflix and you have a chance to watch it, do it. I think you'll like it.
Sure. Take a chance. Do it.
Yeah, go out on a limb. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's fuzzy. It's hot fuzzy. Hot Fuzz 2007 inspired our top three cop duos, buddy cops in films, however you want to say it. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to one last piece of the film, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. We'll also let the Wizard of Wexford, the Kevin Dillon, chime in with his top three as well. So here you go. We'll be back in just 1 second.
All right.
Janine used to say, I love my Lily more than I loved her.
Is that why you split up?
What?
Because you'd done it with a plan.
No. It was more about me being obsessed with the job.
That's good though, right?
Is it? I did miss a few dinners, you know, parties, a birthday or two.
Listen, mate,
her dad's funeral. I just want to be good at what I do.
You are good at what you do. You just gotta learn to switch off that big old melon of yours.
That's the whole problem, Danny. I don't think I know how.
I can show you how.
By the power of Grayskull.
Point Break or Bad Boys 2?
Which one do you think I'll prefer?
No, I mean, which one do you want to watch first?
You are pulling my leg.
Hugh Filmcast back again, right where you want to be, talking about Hot Fuzz 2007, written and directed by Edgar Wright, starring Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, and all kinds of people.
Bunch of people.
And you say the guy that the YARP guy, Michael YARP? Armstrong, is in Game of Thrones. Did
yeah,
I hear that right?
Hound.
The Hound.
Oh, is that the Hound?
The Hound in Game of Thrones.
That?
YARP?
Get out of town. I will take all your effing chickens.
He doesn't say, I have not seen Game of Thrones, but you tell me he doesn't say just YARP in Game of Thrones.
He says a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, he does?
His greatest line is, I'll take all your effing chickens.
And he doesn't say effing.
Okay. No. It's the best scene in the entire series.
Okay. That just gave this film even more street cred, didn't it, Max?
Kills it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about killing our top three. Top three buddy cops in films. And let me get my stuff together. Where's my notes? Here we go.
All right.
I think we should start off with the Wizard here.
All right. What does Wizard got to say?
Kevin Dillon, Wizard of Wexford. His number three. Yeah, this is pretty good. End of Watch.
End of Watch. That's
Gyllenhaal
a good one.
And Pena.
Never saw it.
That's a good movie.
Way back when we first started the show a couple years ago, getting close to a couple years ago, I was actually going to cue that at one point, and I didn't.
It seems gimmicky to me with like the
watch it.
That was great.
Savage
videotape.
It actually does, and I was expecting that. I got a bit more of it
than
I thought. Yeah, good on him. End of Watch. There you go, Savage. Let's go straight to you, number three.
Yeah,
buddy cops. Man,
I got my own little kind of group. I got buddy cop movies and that weren't cops, but they're buddy cops.
Here we go.
Spies Like Us, Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd.
Not cops, but okay.
Same feel.
Okay, you're talking about people of authority, people of badge of some sort.
Well, you feel like they're buddy cops. You know, they were spies. They're kind of cops.
I see where he's going.
Yeah,
but they weren't cops. Spies Like Us.
I like that.
I love that movie.
That movie's so stupid.
Oh, come on.
It's dumb.
It's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad to watch, but is this not a stupid movie? What is it, a brilliant film?
Yeah. Bring it to me.
No.
Not The Rock.
Its parody is a little more in your face.
Yeah, a little bit more, you know, rub your nose in it, you just peed on the carpet kind of parody. Yeah,
I like that movie. I
wouldn't mind seeing it. It's been a long time. Adam, number three for you. We're talking about Hot Fuzz and an inspired top three buddy cops. What you going with, number three?
Oh, Seth Rogen and Bill Hader from Superbad.
Oh, yeah. McLovin.
McLovin.
They were good.
That whole scene with
they were good buddy cops. They burned the car.
Yeah.
We got to burn the car.
I hated that movie.
You didn't like Superbad?
I did not. For some reason, I watched it. Did not like that movie at all.
You should watch it again.
I like it again. Yeah.
And I love Pineapple Express, so don't say it's Rogan. Okay.
I like Pineapple Express, too.
Right.
What do you like for your number three top buddy cops, man? What you going with?
Me? Number three is 48 Hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's got to say it.
You have to say it.
But he wasn't a cop.
Well, one of them was.
One of them was.
One of them was a convict. But that, I mean, as far as buddy movies go, that whole bar scene is worth it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You too stupid to have a job. Where'd you get your money? Tax refund? Yeah.
The one guy eating the chicken wing and pulling the bone out is just priceless. That's one of the greatest things ever put to film.
That is good, man. Eddie Murphy on his prime. At his prime.
Another 48 Hours?
Yeah.
Number three for me. You know what I'm going with? I even have the officers' names. I'm going to go with Officer Franklin and Officer Garden from The Hangover, played by Rob Riggle and Cleo King. Want to tell you why? Because they're deviant, nasty, awful
and
cops.
They want to shoot somebody in the face.
And they will shoot you in the face, and they will zap your testicles. Go ask Bradley Cooper.
And laugh.
Now, listen, they aren't a big part of the film, but they are buddy cops, and they are on the same page. I will shoot you in the face.
In the face.
In the face.
Yeah. I thought of those guys. Why not?
Well, hey, they're buddy cops. It's not a buddy cop movie, but yeah, hey.
I think I would rather have Bad Lieutenant arrest me than one of those people.
Ooh.
I mean, come on.
I mean, you're a dude, so maybe.
I mean, Serpico arrest me. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, and he was
good ethical.
Guy.
He wouldn't shoot you in the balls with a taser gun.
That's not his kind of fun, man.
Let's move along. Yeah. I'm going with those guys. Yeah. Number two from The Wizard of Wexford, Kevin Dillon. At Kev Dillon 316. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Downey Jr. and Kilmer. Never seen the film.
I'm going to say it right now. That's my number two as well.
Really? You want to get it out there? I haven't seen the movie.
I haven't seen
it either.
Oh, my God.
I've heard of it. I've heard
of it. Is it on Netflix? Watch it.
It's Kilmer and Downey. I'll watch it.
It's so good. It's just great. It's great. And one of them's not a cop. I think Downey's the – I hadn't seen it in a while. I think Downey's the cop. Kilmer plays a gay actor that's researching a role, so he's got to hang out with Downey. It's so good.
So you're
okay.
So
you're
your
gonna
list is like one's a cop and one's not a cop.
No, these are just buddy movies. They're
you may as well say it's your list, Max.
Yeah. One's kind of a cop. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is
your number two.
Fantastic. That's my number two as well. Yeah. Good on you, Kevin Dillon.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That's how Adam usually gets a woman into bed, or he invites her into bed. There, that's it. All right, who are we up to next? Is it me?
Me.
Well,
no,
he gets
me.
His number two.
I got to get my number two.
Oh, did you get? Okay, I thought you gave your number two.
No, I haven't given my number two. My number two of best buddy cop movies that aren't cops, Men in Black, J&K. They're kind of cops, kind of not cops.
Well, they're futuristic cops.
They're alien cops, I guess you'd say.
They're a secret division of authority.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
J&K, Men in Black.
There you go, not bad. Yeah, that's a default one right there. That's good. Someone had to say that, too.
Scratch that off my also.
Scratch it off the list. Who we up to now? Is it me?
Adam.
Oh, Adam.
Got to give his number two.
Number two, what is it?
Oh, Colt and Luger from Loaded Weapon 1.
Loaded Weapon.
Okay. Yeah. What the hell is this?
It's like a parody
a
of Loaded Weapon.
Oh, okay, it's kind of like a Hot Shots Part 2 kind of thing.
Emilio Estevez and Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Playing Riggs and Murtaugh.
It was not bad. It was pretty funny.
You saw it, okay? Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Not bad.
It was no Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2, but yeah, it wasn't bad.
Okay.
It's still funny. I love that movie.
All right, not bad at all. There you go, Adam. Number two for you. And is it up to me?
Yep, number two.
What did I go with? I got to take my notes here. Oh, check this out. How about Officer Castillo and Officer Hughes? I'm talking about Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal in Running Scared.
Yep.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I picked cops I thought were funny. These are cop duos that kind of made me laugh. That's a funny film, by the way.
That's all right.
It is funny.
I like Crystal and Hines in that movie.
Absolutely.
I remember going to see that in the theater with my father, and he liked it so much. I liked it so much. Bonding moment there.
That's beautiful.
I'm going to harken back to easier and better times. When I was with my dad watching movies.
There you go.
In the theater.
Nothing wrong with that.
1986. There you go. There's mine.
Up to number ones then. Kev Dillon.
The Wizard of Wexford.
All right.
And by the way, did you know Wexford, Ireland is the ancestral home of John F. Kennedy? I think his grandfather or great-grandfather was there from there.
All right.
Is that where he started loan sharking? And
stuff? I have no idea.
Bootlegging?
Bootlegging Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they still do to this day.
Probably pretty good too, right? All right, number one.
I'll take some.
Someone has to say this, Max, and I'm talking about Die Hard. I'm talking about Willis and Vel Johnson. They weren't on the same force. They weren't paired as partners.
That's right.
They were thrown into partnership by forces beyond their control.
You need to wake up and smell what you're shoveling.
Yeah.
They were both cops.
They were both cops.
Yeah.
All right. Especially when he threw that body out the window.
They ended up being buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Eating Twinkies and stuff.
Savage.
Yes.
Are we up to number ones?
Number ones.
Are we up to you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we are up to you. What is it? Number one.
Number one buddy cop movies who aren't cops. The quintessential buddy cops who aren't cops is Holmes and Watson. Sherlock Holmes.
He's walking a thin line.
That's a real thin line.
That's not a real thin line.
Well, he's a private detective. Wait a second.
Those guys are cops.
But mine is a thin line, too, so...
Yeah, your guys aren't even cops. You got crooks on your list.
I do. I do. Well, Sherlock Holmes was a crook. He was a coke addict.
But that was legal then.
Whatever.
Yeah. What about you, producer? What you going with? Number one's for you. We're talking about buddy cops in films. You know, what is it?
Tango and Cash, from a little-known movie called Tango and Cash.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least you didn't say
no, that's awesome. That's an awesome answer.
It's a yeah, it's a good answer. It's not a good movie though.
It's not. It's you didn't. You didn't stretch
come
for
on,
it,
man. Tango and Cash is an awesome movie.
Eh.
I don't know. I can't remember. I don't remember being thrilled
it's the
by
80s.
It.
80s. Come on.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in a while.
It's marinated in the 80s. Okay.
It is. Yeah. It's
Kurt Russell.
At least you didn't say Turner and Hooch from Turner and Hooch. You could have said that.
Hooch wasn't a cop.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't.
I could have went K-9.
Commissioned cop.
Max, you're number one. We're talking about buddy cops from the film Hot Fuzz inspired. What you going to go with?
All right, I guess technically I have a theme. I'm sticking with non-cops and non-cops. Midnight Run. One of the greatest buddy movies ever made.
Absolutely.
Bounty hunter.
One was a bounty hunter. One was a crook. Who cares?
So one of his things got to be a crook.
Apparently.
I like it. He didn't even know he had a theme.
He had a theme without knowing it.
I had no idea.
That's fantastic.
I didn't even put that together.
I like the answer. That's a good film.
But Midnight Run is a 10 for me. Yeah.
I think that might be a 10. That
Rogan
is a great film. Yeah. That movie's so good. I watched it like last year. Watched it on the fly, flipping around. You know it's a great film when you're flipping around. Wait a second. I'm going to put the remote down for an hour and a half and watch this film. That is good.
Yeah. I want to give them chickens a shot.
I love that movie.
I love that movie.
Maybe we'll talk about it one day. Who knows?
Yeah.
My number one. Let's get to this one. You know what I'm going with? Why not? Where is it? Oh, here we are. Officer Leach and Officer Reams from Stakeout.
Stakeout. That was on my also-rans, yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss, Emilio Estevez with a mustache.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great movie, but it was fun.
It was way better than Stakeout 2.
Didn't see that. Was it
better than Loaded
Rosie
Weapon?
Rosie, old dumbass.
Yeah, I thought that deserved a nod, so there you go.
I noticed nobody said Heat.
You notice nobody would. You notice nobody will. You notice that will be edited out if it is.
Heat's a great movie. I don't think it's a buddy cop movie.
No,
he's
no,
talking about the
one,
new one.
Not the Michael Mann.
Oh,
Heat.
The one with
Melissa
the two
McCarthy
chicks?
Yeah. Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, I won't ever mention anything with Melissa McCarthy.
I'm sorry. My wife wants to go see a movie this weekend. We may end up seeing Spy.
Just go see Mad Max again.
With Jason Statham.
She really wants to see Spy. But listen, anybody that had anything to do with Identity Thief, you know my hatred for this movie.
I know.
I have to write him off. I have to say goodbye to
You're
you.
You're dead to me.
I got to say goodbye to you, Jason Bateman, man. I'm sorry. You were why? Because you were in Identity Thief. What an abomination. That was our appreciation episode. At KevDill316.
The KevDillin?
That
you,
one
Kev.
Right there. Thank you, Kev, the Wizard of Wexford.
Yeah.
So let's get on to the next one. Let's do this right here. I think it's Max Gumbo Johnson's selection. Yeah. That's where this one ends, Max. We got something else in the hopper, something else in the queue. Reveal next week's show, please.
I am going with, I think it was 2014, 2013. I'm not sure what year. Blue Ruin.
Ooh, Blue Ruin.
Blue Ruin.
Yeah.
The film where a guy has a beard, then does not have a beard.
And then he's in a clean car, then he's in a bloody car. It's crazy.
And his leg was... in good shape, and then his leg is not in good shape.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, he hasn't seen the film.
I haven't either.
This is going to be worth a good second watch for me. It's one that I watched and said, okay, let me hold off and watch it again. I'll get back with you.
Yeah.
I'll get back with you. I got to see it twice. Certainly going
to
give us
plenty
to talk
about.
You'll be on the edge of your couch, at least for parts of the film, I promise you this. But we'll get back next week, tell you what we thought of it, give you our review of that one, and we'll come up with the top three as we always do. This was Hot Fuzz 2007. And our top three buddy cops in film. If you want to keep up with us, you go to theqfilmcast.net. Yeah, you want to go there. Tell us what you think of this film. Tell us what you think of us thinking of this film.
Yeah. Tell us what you think of Kevin Dillon.
Tell us what you think of Kev Dillon at KevDill316.
He crawled up that mountain, for God's sake.
In his flip-flops, singing Patty Bear songs the whole way. Swam the entire river of that river. I can't remember. The only river.
Bubbly River.
The Bubbly River in Wexford. I threw away my notes. We'll see you next week. Once again, thank you for stopping by. Go to theqfilmcast.net. And until then, however it is you say...
Jog on.